Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the love of our lives, the wind beneath our wings, and the beat of our hearts, the rhythm of the universe, the current that pulsates as the life force all around us, keeping the universe alive to the minutest atom. The one who also happens to be the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, and good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream, and we're coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and I thank you for staying with us on Thursday, June the 11th, 2015. The time in Prashanthi Nilayam right now is exactly 39 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in Prashanthi Nilayam. Radio Sai is pleased to inform you that the great Indian monsoon has arrived and poured several clouds full of monsoon rains upon us. On Tuesday night, we had this huge downpour, leaving us all very well hydrated. And we are expecting several such monsoon showers in the coming days, including one today, perhaps later in the evening. Right now, as we speak, the skies are clear, but the atmosphere is somewhat moisture-laden. Current temperature in the Divine Valley is 31 degrees Celsius, and we are expecting a daytime high of 37. But there is this comfortable tinge of moisture in the air, and the breeze is cool and relaxing, especially pleasant in the mornings and evenings. So compared to the sweltering heat of North India, the weather in Prashanthi Nilayam is relatively pleasant and welcoming, and will only get better with each passing day. Thank you, Lord, for creating this oasis for us. Today on Morning Glory, we have lined up for you the final part of our two-part Learning with Love conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar of the Sai University. He is in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti of Radio Sai. But first, I can't let this moment pass without thanking everybody out there who sent us their feedback on one of our recent offerings to mark the special 90th year of the Divine Advent. Well, if you have visited our website of late, you would have noticed a very friendly and familiar character called Uncle Lion. This animated series from Radio Sai has had an unexpectedly positive impact on our global listeners and viewers. And today on Radio Sai, we would like to thank everyone out there for engaging with Uncle Lion and enjoying his values-based tales. And I'm also so happy to welcome to the studio the uncle of Uncle Lion, namely my colleague, Brother Raghuram Bhatt. Because Raghu coordinated the entire series of Uncle Lion's tales for our English-speaking audiences. Sai Ram, Brother Raghu, or should I say Uncle Raghu, and welcome to Morning Glory.
Sai Ram, and thank you for having me here, Sister Karuna.
It's wonderful to have you. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm good.
You look quite happy. I think you watched an episode of Uncle Lion. That's why you look rather cheerful. So, Raghu, please tell us more about this new initiative and that you are coordinating at the moment.
Yes, I'm in fact very blessed to speak on this. And I also thank Swami for giving us this opportunity to host this new series of cartoons as an offering for Swami's 90th birthday. In fact, Swami is the doer. We are just the instruments, and it's a very nice opportunity. Yeah, to tell more about this cartoon series, the name of this series is Uncle Lion's Tales. Now, you may ask why it's named Uncle Lion, why not Uncle Tiger or something else? Well, it's very simple. If you have seen the cartoon, you will get the answer. The cartoons are like short cartoons, and it's like a lion telling the entire story. And after the story is over, the lion gives the moral for the story. And the duration for these short cartoons are just about a minute or two. Maximum, it's just 3 minutes, not more than that. Very short cartoons with moral stories. In fact, I would say they are more like thought-provoking. And the target audience are children of age group between 5 to 10. It's like children from first grade to fifth grade. So when they watch the cartoon, it's thought-provoking. They start thinking about the moral, and they should think more about the moral. That's the purpose of this cartoon.
And you know, you call them Uncle Lion's Tales because tales mean stories, but it just occurred to me that your Uncle Lion has a huge whopping tail which he keeps swishing
back.
When he's speaking, he's like a fan. It keeps going on at the back from one end to the other. So it is T-A-I-L, a lion with the big T-A-I-L who has nice T-A-L-E's to share with us.
Oh, that's nice.
How did it all begin though? How did you come up with this idea that we should have animation on Radio Sai for children?
Yes, the idea obviously is given by Swami himself. He is the doer. So what happened was, there's a company in Germany. It's called Salar Sports Company. And the owner of this company is Swami's devotee. And they have made many short cartoons on moral values, human values on morals, short cartoons, and they have done it in German language. Mm-hmm. They have already done about 300 or 400 cartoons, and they have hosted it in their website, German website, Salar Sports Company. So since the owner is Swami's devotee and he is a very good friend of Brother Sai Prakash, you may be knowing that he is in the video department.
Mm-hmm.
So he spoke to Sai Prakash and he asked Sai Prakash if Radio Sai can dub those German cartoons into English cartoons. It's in the language German, so he asked if we can dub it into English and host it in our website radiosai.org. So we readily agreed, and that's how it all started. So what they did was they used to translate the German language into English.
The script, the
script.
Voiceover.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the voiceover script, the script for the narrator and the different character. They used to translate it from German to English and give the script to us. And also the video of a German cartoon to be as a reference. And also they used to send the background music track. So with this we have to edit the script a little bit. And after that, we voice over in English. And after voicing over it in English and mixing the background music, we send the voice audio track back to Germany. And they mix it with the high-quality video, high-quality animation video. And they send it back, and then we upload it on our website. That's how it's
not a work involved.
Yeah. And right now, just a month back, it was started, and every Saturday, one cartoon will be uploaded on the website till Swami's 90th birthday. As of now, we have planned about 30 cartoons, but by Swami's blessings and grace, we want to continue it even after Swami's 90th birthday.
So when you were translating into English, how did you work on matching everything? It must have been a challenge to keep the script exactly the same length, because those cartoons are moving their lips and mouths up to a certain duration only.
Yeah. So the characters will move their mouth, as you said. So, and it's in German, so we have to do the lip syncing. And exact lip syncing is not possible, so we do the time syncing. So for each character there will be a dialogue, and that dialogue has to be rendered at that particular time. So we see the cartoon and we do the recording. It was a lot of fun in recording the characters of the different characters. And
sure, I think I loved playing my part in it.
Yeah,
I loved voicing some of them.
Yes, you have.
It was so much fun.
Yes.
Now, let's come to voicing it over in English. How did you go about it? Because now you had to do everything within the limited resources we have at our disposal. We are just so few of us around here.
Correct. So what we thought was, there's a lion who is the main narrator.
Mm.
So he narrates the story, and as I said, towards the end of the story, he gives the moral of the story in just a few lines. And in between, there will be many characters. So we thought, let's freeze on 2-3 voices for narrator. So the narrator's voice was constant, and then the character's voice can be different. So it was all in-house talent, whoever, because the characters need to speak just few lines. In fact, very short lines, just few words. So anybody could speak it. So I used to just sit inside the recording studio, and whoever used to pass by, I used to call them and tell them.
Catch all passers-by,
yeah,
yes.
Tell them to speak. And in fact, there were few lady characters also, and in Radio Sai, you are the only one, as of now, lady character, female voice, right? But what used to happen was, for the Telugu team, many volunteers used to come, so I used to call them also to speak.
Sami sends all the right people,
yes,
at the right time.
Right
doesn't
time,
he?
That's it.
Yeah.
So he's the only doer. We are just the instruments.
We are the ones who are enjoying it.
Yeah, correct.
So this whole series is hardly a few weeks old, Raghu, and we noticed from our listener feedback it has created such a buzz amongst our listeners, and also the comments at the bottom of the page where people can just type in their feedback on Discus. Now, would you care to share some of the feedback with us that we have received in such a short time? I don't think,
yeah,
I can't think of any program that has generated so much of interest and engagement from our listeners.
Mm.
And we didn't even realize that 2 to 3 minute long animations will make people so happy.
Yeah, in fact, the feedback from devotees are very important. We always consider it as a voice of Swami himself. And we always say in Radio Sai that it is Swami who is the listener, Swami who is the speaker,
true,
everything. So feedbacks, we take it very seriously, and we have got many, as you said, many feedback, and I would like to read a few. Miss Aradhana Dubey says that it's really nice video, educative and simple. And then Mr. Rahul Reddy says that it's best Radio Sai initiative. I'm just loving it. Well, it's really encouraging to be known as the best Radio Sai initiative. And then Ms. Sri Ranjani says, very nice cartoons. The animations are good and the stories are very good. It teaches values for elders too. Thank you, Radio Sai team. And then the feedback goes on. There are so many feedback. It even keeps coming through mails through listener at Radio Sai. And even in the website page also, they can write the comments.
Yeah, I can read a few from the website if you don't mind.
Yeah.
There's one from Deeksha, who says it's very educative and effective. And there's one from Arjun Kapoor, who says it's very nice story, short, simple, great effect and video quality, Sai Ram. Then Heart 1, Heart 2 says, wonderful creative work, Jai Sai Ram, feels very good to watch. Then there's a feedback from Sai Amrita Kaul of Toronto, Canada. She says, these are fantastic for our SSE program here in Canada, as well as for general educational purposes. If it is possible at all, can we get subtitles with the videos? That will make them, of course, she has a suggestion. We can make it more accessible to people who may be hearing impaired or unfamiliar with some of the words, especially since some of the vocabulary will be new for younger students or those just learning English. Mr. K.S. Ramamurthy says, Uncle Lion's Tales, excellent. We do not misuse the freedom given by God or nature. And there are two sisters from Oman who are great Radio Sai volunteers, Srividya and Srinidhi. They wrote to us, super good animation. Thank you for the efforts. Good morals are presented through these amazing animations.
Hmm.
You have more feedback, Raghu?
Yeah, there are many more.
Please share.
Ms. Sudha Narayan says, visuals are always a powerful medium to convey messages, and this is a very good initiative by Radio Sai. Kudos to Radio Sai team. We can show this to Balvika's kids in the class and continue this work. And one Mrs. Michael Hamilton says that I loved Michelle Hamilton says, I loved it. It taught a great lesson with many great subtle messages. Now that I am a grandmother, I was recently thinking that I needed to create some good cartoons. Please let me know if I can be of assistance in producing and collaborating.
How nice.
Yeah, this is nice. They are coming forward to volunteer. In fact, that's an encouraging feedback. And then Mrs. Shailendra says, very interesting, educative, and so simple to understand, not only for young ones, but elders too.
Hmm. And I will read to you a few more from here. I have one from Louis Martin, who says, in the first and last time... I beg your pardon. He said the cartoon is pointing to the very precious advice of the Lord. And thank you very much, Sairam, and regards. And Aparna says, Sairam, this is excellent. I've been looking for something like this for my son. Swami, bless me with these wonderful stories. And it's a great way to see how children are able to connect to the cartoons. Shelley has sent us a feedback also. Shelley says, the effort is no doubt amazing and very creative. And... she has given a good feedback that it would be better if you use age-appropriate terminology. And overall, an excellent effort. Look forward to seeing more cartoons. Usha Kondinya says, Sairam loved the cartoon and the message in the story and would have preferred the setting to be more child-oriented, like a bully and a kid or a brother snatching pizza from a sister. Mm. So people are taking it so... seriously, and they're giving us such good ideas on what we can do. And Ruben Sivanesan says, very high quality, nicely done. And Bhavna Krishnan says, a good one, I would like to watch more. Soumya says, I loved it, correct message at correct time, thanks Radio Sai.
Nice.
And do you have any more feedbacks to share?
Yeah, there are many more feedbacks, but from feedbacks we can see that these cartoons, they are helping the SSE classes and Balvikas classes, children, right?
Yes. It's a great resource for those gurus. If I were a guru, I would be so happy to end my class on a good note and show my children this as a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also a few feedback says that it acts as a reminder to the children and also to the elders. That's a very nice thing, that it covers all age group. Even the elders are enjoying it and... Getting good reminders, I'd say.
And you know the German company Selas, you said, they've done such a good job of animating and designing their illustrations are so fantastic.
Yeah, it's very nice, very good quality and
highest possible quality.
Very nice creativity, I would like to say.
Yes.
And in fact, the background music sound effects are also very good.
And the expression of the characters, the settings, how nicely they have designed everything.
And as you said, the uncle and keeps wagging its tail.
Really, yes. He never gets tired of doing it when he's giving the moral of the story.
Right.
He's quite an uncle. Everybody has an uncle like that in their family. Uncle Lion. Yes, and I have one from Kalyani Palani. It's a feedback. It said, this is a wonderful idea. I'm looking forward to watching these cartoons. Being a Balvikas Group 1 teacher, I would like to know if these videos will be downloadable so that I can use them for my lessons. My kids love to watch cartoons and it is a very effective way to teach them values. Jayshree D says, nice initiative for kids. Amol Agarwal says, this is going to be so much fun. I've always watched cartoons when I was a child and wished as an SSC teacher that I have value-based cartoons for my class. It's like a dream come true. Thanks a lot to everyone who has worked really hard to get this together with the blessings of beloved Swami. So these are just a few of the feedbacks that are in my hand right now. There really are a whole ton of them. Krishna Palera says, very good idea. Despite knowing I often lose my patience, good reminder, I shall practice more and more. Claudio Sai says, this is a wonderful idea. Please subtitle. So we have a ton more, many sheets. I can't go through all of them. But what are the general feedback or criticism that we have received for improving ourselves better?
Yeah, there are some feedback which we should, I think, take it seriously. Because many have told that having subtitles will be a very good idea. And just yesterday I was speaking to Mohan, our web designer, who hosts the, who uploads the cartoons on the web page. So he was saying that these cartoons, if they are watched in YouTube, they are also available in YouTube. So YouTube has got a special... way in which we can activate the subtitle. There's a subtitle option in YouTube videos, for YouTube videos. So if somebody is watching this cartoon in YouTube videos, then they can put on the option, subtitle option, and then the subtitles will come.
Okay, perhaps we should mention that on our website, that if you can also watch it with subtitles on YouTube by activating the link and give them instructions how to just click that link so that subtitles start appearing.
Yeah, that's right. Because if they won't activate the subtitles option, then it won't show up.
Yeah.
So they won't know. Yeah, that's a good idea. In fact, we have to incorporate that. And then many have told that the language should be
simple. Yes.
Yeah. For example, there was a cartoon on forbearance, the great virtue of forbearance. So some viewers said that small children won't know what's the meaning of forbearance. So we should have the language a little
simpler and more child friendly. Yeah, because as the children will understand the child friendly, and the adults will also be able to follow all the same. I mean, we don't have to worry about the adults. They will anyway follow simpler language, but we want to reach and touch very small children.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so as we evolve and as we go on re-editing these scripts together, Raghu, we have to keep the language in mind, I guess.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. Going forward, what can we look forward to?
Yeah, before that, there are a few more things that listeners have told that I would like to share. Yeah, about downloading the cartoons.
Yes, someone asked that question.
So, as of now, we have not given any option for downloading, but as I said, it's available in YouTube, and YouTube videos can be downloaded. There are some ways in which people download videos from YouTube. There are different sites like keepit.com or YouTube or youtubedownloader.com or something like that. And from that, they can download. And also, we have this Sai Blossom product, Uncle Lion's Tale.
Yes.
Where we have collected about 30 cartoons. In fact, these cartoons only will be uploaded in the website.
So they can buy the DVD from a store here.
Yeah,
and then every Balvikas teacher, every parent, uncle, aunt, mother can present it to each other and have it in circulation so they can play it and just watch it as and when they play.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wonderful.
So same cartoons are being uploaded in the website every week, but they are available in the form of a DVD also.
So there's a whole collection of them will be available.
Yeah.
And I think our listeners who are paying attention, that's the best gift we can buy for our children right now, because, you know, instead of another handheld device to play, give them something. They understand animation, and this is value-based animation. So well done, Raghu and team, to have created this resource.
And when you were telling few feedbacks, I heard that one person wrote that the setting could be more child-oriented, like bully kid and brother snatching pizza from his sister. So in this regard, we can't do anything because it's already done.
Yes.
Right? The cartoons have been already animated, and it's there in German version, so we are just dubbing it.
Yes.
We can't change the cartoon or change the story, change the animation.
And although we do, the one control that we have is that we are redoing the script, we try to even further fine-tune it towards values, universal values.
And some people also wrote that the cartoons can be more from epics like Ramayana and Mahabharata. But as of now, it's fixed. And also some people wrote that the duration could be longer. Yeah. That also we don't have control over it right now.
And also, you know, that's true for those who are enjoying, but let's not forget that the modern man's attention span is not that much longer than that of a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
So we are all having shorter, this is the age of Twitter with 140 characters only. So we have to keep children engaged. So we don't want to make it a very long lesson. Just keep it short and sweet, and as it grows, maybe perhaps the next generation we can consider.
Yeah.
We can request Selas in Germany if they could make it a bit longer.
Yeah.
And also take the feedback about the settings to be more
child-oriented.
Yeah. Real sibling rivalry, bullying, school-related peer pressure kind of issues.
In fact, one person had written that a child from Croatia, Iran, Africa, etc., for example, may not have seen a sari shop, because in one cartoon there is a mention of a sari shop. So it should be more universal. Yeah. So as of now, what we can do is we can add subtitles, make the language simpler, and also we can use some download options if possible. And the durations are not in our hand as of now, and also the we can't change the characters or animation as of now.
Perhaps going forward. Great. Now, future plans?
Yeah, future plans are like when the owner of the cellar, his name is Mark, when he had approached Sai Prakash, he had told that as of now we will dub these cartoons from German language to English. But going forward, he asked Radio Sai to give their own stories.
Scripts.
Scripts for which they can animate. So the future plans are we give Swami's Chinnakathas and Swami's life stories which can be animated. In fact, there is already one comic series in RadioSai.org where illustrations of Swami's life from childhood is happening. So we would in future try to tell the Germans to animate that series. And also, as I said, Swami's Chinnakathas, which is very universal. So that we want to animate. And also the multilingual attempting the Hindi version of this animation, and also, if possible, having different languages, of the animation. So those are the future plans, and Swami should bless us and guide us and give us the strength to do it.
Yeah. I say amen to that. Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add, Brother Raghu?
Yeah. Finally, I would really thank the Sala team from German.
And Brother Mark especially.
Yeah, on behalf of the entire Radio Sai team, because it's they who are creating it. We are just dubbing it from German to English, that's it. The entire animation, the entire creativity, the nice characters and the visual effects and background music, everything they have composed and created it. So I thank them for this opportunity for giving us this opportunity to host it in our website. And many of the people are thinking that it's Radio Sai who is creating it, but actually it's
our own team in Germany, because we're all one big large family, a network of real human network of volunteers, and the cellar team led by Brother Mark is doing all the hard work. And because they're giving us full rights to post it and to dub it in a different language, we are able to reach so many more people and take the message out there.
Yeah, correct. And also one more thing to the listeners, that they should share this cartoons with everyone. In fact, every Saturday we are hosting one cartoon, but if they want, they can buy the DVD, video DVD, which has got 30 cartoons. And as of now, only volume 1 of this 30 cartoons are available, but we are going to keep dubbing new cartoons. As I said in the beginning, there are about 300 or 400 already cartoons done in the language of German, and Mr. Mark from Sellar team has given us the rights to dub these cartoons into English. So the process is going on.
And it's a long process, and it'll have many variants with Chinnakathas, Bhagwan's Divine Life. So I think it's one of the finest gifts any parent can get is the DVD with every time there's a new release on Uncle Lion's Tales. As a parent or as an aunt or a SSC guru or an uncle, I would recommend that you buy this, and then you can just put it on your computer and perhaps save it onto your handheld device, so that whenever your child, I'm so bored, when are we going to get there? So they can hold that handheld device and actually watch it on the iPad or something, and keep themselves engaged with something way better than the violence and the horror that we watch on cartoons these days.
Yes.
And pollute our senses.
And it's also available through Radio SaiBlossoms.org website. They can buy it online.
Oh,
SaiBlossom.org. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brother Raghu, for joining me for this live conversation.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time and presence on Morning Glory.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I also thank Swami for giving Radio Sai this opportunity to host these cartoons in our website, RadioSai.org. Thank you.
And let's take a moment to thank the entire Sellar team in Germany and Brother Mark, who have such enormity of heart to share this wonderful resource with all of us.
Yes. Thank you, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Dear sisters and brothers, that was Mr. Raghuram Bhatt, the uncle of Uncle Lion's Tale, one of our many special offerings at the Lotus Feet on the occasion of the 90th year of Bhagwan's Divine Advent. We would love to hear back from you, your thoughts, suggestions and comments regarding today's conversation and our animated short stories, Uncle Lion's Tales, are always welcome at listener@radiosai.org. www.radiosaithursdaylive.org. Let us now take a short inspirational break and assess if we can make a special offering on the occasion of the 90th year of the Divine Advent. And on the other side of this break, you can enjoy part 2 of our Learning with Love conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar of the Sai University. And he's in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti. Have a listen, please. The 90th year of Bhagwan Baba's Divine Advent is here. What are you planning to offer at his lotus feet? How about a gift wrapped in red? If you wish to partner with the Sai Healthcare to save a precious life, please take the time to donate blood at the Sri Satya Sai Super Specialty Hospital whenever you are visiting Puttaparthi. The blood bank is open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single day, patients undergo life-saving procedures here, and a pint of blood can make all the difference. Let's build a favorable blood inventory. If you're a healthy adult, please donate. For more information, please visit psg.sssihms.org.in. Blood, it's in you to give. Please donate. Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, I'm Team Neri Sai's Bishu, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our occasional series, Learning with Love. Learning with Love, as some of you might be aware, is a variant of our Tryst with Divinity conversations. This has a value-added component to the Tryst with Divinity conversations. Yeah, so in some ways it is Tryst with a twist. We have this special series with people who have had very precious moments with Bhagwan. People who have had the chance to live with Bhagwan and experience his proximity like very few have. And people who have had imbibed, who have imbibed very deep lessons by virtue of working with Bhagwan, by virtue of serving Bhagwan at very close quarters. And one of them is Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, and today we have him again. We have done 2 episodes already with him, and this is the 3rd episode. For those who are regular at Prashantinilayam, sir is a very familiar, spirited inmate of the Prashantinilayam ashram. He's known for his enthusiasm, his energy, his innovation, his initiative, his planning, etc., etc. But he's someone who, as I mentioned before, had the chance to serve Bhagwan at very close quarters for many years. Before joining the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, he has done his master's in very prestigious institutions in IIT Madras and IIM Bangalore, which is India's best in terms of engineering and management. And in 1988, he was drawn to leave everything and join Bhagwan's University. That is after working 6 years in TCS, Tata Consultancy Services. So he came to the university with a plethora of experience in the corporate sphere, and eventually he took over as the Dean of the Department of Management Studies, guiding the MBA students under the direct supervision and guidance of Bhagwan himself. So apart from this academic duty, what is more significant about Sir is the way he was mentoring students at a very personal level because of the time and the access that he had to Bhagwan. And it is these lessons that we want to share with all, not just the university students who have had the chance to interact with him directly. But these are lessons of life. These are precious gems which should be dispersed into the hearts of every young spiritual seeker, into every young mind, so that they also turn into an enlightened mind and inspired heart. So with great pleasure, I welcome you, sir, once again to the studios of Radio Sai to continue this series, Learning with Love.
Thank you, Bishu. Sairam to all the devotees and also the listeners. Actually, it's been more a learning for me, especially going back to the memory lane down the memory lane and reliving some of those precious moments which I try to share, it's not just only the interaction I would have had or an exposure, but more importantly, as you have titled it, this particular program series, it had a deep impact on me. It made me change for the better in many ways. And some of them I've already shared as part of the first two. I would like to share a couple of them this time also. Till 1968, I lived in many of the metropoles of this country, like Mumbai, Bangalore, Calcutta, Chennai. For the first time, I had an opportunity to go to, 67, I had an opportunity to go to rural areas, especially Andhra rural areas, coastal areas. By and large, coastal Andhra is more prosperous than many other rural areas. But still, it did make a lot of impact on me, seeing the difference which is there between metropolitan life and also the rural life.
You happened to go there on work?
No. I was 16, I was just completed my schooling. Okay. And before going to college, my father said, let's go around, because I had not seen my native place.
Okay.
Our ancestors' place. The first time, no, my father took me around. I didn't stay there for much, maybe for a week or so. And that gave me a lot of curiosity to know more. Especially after we come to know that, no, 70% or 80% of India lives in the rural areas. Though they contribute so much to us, but we are all totally ignorant.
Yes.
In cities. Subsequently, when I joined Sevadal, we had a lot of opportunity to go to villages to do seva activities. There I had more opportunity to observe what actually is happening in these rural areas. One of the things, you know, which caught my attention, because now I was with an engineering background, was how the young children in rural areas keep them engaged themselves and also are very happy. In cities we find that, now for children over 5 years or 6 years, we have to give them toys or keep something else. And keep changing those things because they get bored with the old one and they want every time new to keep themselves engaged or entertained. But what I observed in these rural areas was that whatever was locally available, most often than not a waste material, they use those to keep themselves engaged and also take it into a fun items. Example now I'll give you. You would have seen in many places, after the coconut is broken for water, the whole of the shell, two of them are joined together with a small stick. And using like a fork stick, you just use it to play it like going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a common very sight in rural areas. But when you see the face of the child.
Homemade toys.
He has made it himself and keeps himself entertained. And one more beautiful thing is that he doesn't mind sharing that with others in his own village. So I was just wondering, how does that happiness really come? Whereas in cities, one, we don't share much. At the same time, we are not made ourselves. We all buy them. And very quickly, we get bored with them. Here was a situation, we find happiness in them. And little more observation tells you, they are very contented. They are very happy with it. What they have, or what they get, or what they do with it. So that gave me a thought, because now going through management and other things, is ambition related to it? One. Is contentment and happiness related to each other? The third most important one is, if all these three parameters have to be working together, what will happen to an individual? Because balancing these three components is not so easy, like in a tripod stool. You have to be very careful standing on top of it. If you're not very careful, you'll fall down, isn't it? In a three-legged stool. Whereas four legs, you know, you're quite stable. In three legs, it's very difficult. So I was just wondering, what could possibly be the thing? And all of us in cities or others also have a lot of ambition. Even these children, as they become 12 years or 14 years or 15 years, something else takes them over and that contentment and happiness disappears. Whereas then
so
a small child.
So the three things in this tripod are contentment.
Contentment, happiness, and ambition.
Ambition.
So these are the three. So I was just analyzing what could possibly be the thing. Because if we don't have ambition, we are going to get stagnant.
Yes.
And we know stagnant...
There is no just for life then.
And stagnant means death.
Yes.
If you see literature, they talk about if you are where you are, you're equal to being dead, isn't it?
Yes.
Unless there's a progress in you, you will not. Look at our human body.
Yes.
We always grow, isn't it? All cells grow. Then only we are having a life. So this gave me a thought. And then try to search for an answer on my own. I could not. I read, could not find an answer. After I joined the institute, we get a lot of opportunity because Swami is there. And he is the knowledge which everybody wants to seek. And he has got everything with him, past, present and possibly the future. So in 1989, when Swami took me, I had that good fortune of accompanying Swami to Kodaikanal. I was part of another team members. There what normally used to happen is, after morning breakfast, we used to go for a walk and Swami used to give darshan. And possibly call a few people for interview. And after the interview is over, then we come back. And between that period and lunch, you get clearly about an hour and a half time available. So at that time, what normally Swami used to do is call all the boys and teachers who accompanied him. And also possibly a few VIP guests. We all sit around Swami in the hall. And then Swami either talks himself on certain things or he allows others to talk. Or most importantly, many times we found Swami allowing people to raise issues. Or sometimes he himself will raise an issue and ask you to discuss about it. And at the end, you know, we are only like groping, like, you know, blind man catching the elephant and trying to describe. We are not able to get the full picture. And then Swami is to come forward and give the entire explanation. So this was a situation. And one of the times the topic came for discussion was about happiness and contentment. When the moment Swami raised, you know, I was so thrilled. Because almost for the last couple of years or more than that, more than 10, 12 years now, I've been thinking about it and I could not find an answer. I said, possibly now I'll get the what is the gist and what is the actual answers for these two. Well, many people started talking about it and telling their views. When we finally asked Swami, Swami said only one thing. Swami said, all these things depends on your expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami also said, the expectation normally should be based on your abilities, your capabilities, and the situation you find yourself in. Abilities and capabilities are the means for fulfilling your expectation, isn't it? And there you find the relationship which is needed with respect to the situation you are in. So these are the three things, you know, which one will have to look at and make a sum total of it before you can really go forward. And this is where we find these three terms of known, which will have to be approached with a little bit of caution. What is the caution? I am talking about abilities, I am talking about capabilities and the situation. Suppose my ambition or expectation much more than what this is able to do. For example, you may ask, after doing engineering, I did job for a couple of years. Then I said, no, I want to do an MBA and then PhD in management. Why did I go and do an MBA or management or PhD? Because from whatever I studied, it had given me certain skill set and abilities. And with that, I thought I'll be able to reach a certain level in my life. If I want to grow professionally beyond that in the organization, I need some more, isn't it? Two things can happen. I can find some political way of trying to go to higher positions or develop myself, be capable of handling those higher jobs. Thereby automatically what management will do, look, he can deliver more. So let us try him out and give. So that means I did try to improve myself in both my abilities and capabilities so that I can go for higher. That means now I can raise my expectation level from what it was to a new level. Okay. You can call it as ambition. You can call it any other one. But this is a simpler term is expectation. If I am not equipping myself for fulfilling that higher level of expectation, what will happen? I'll find wrong methods and means for doing it. Now, if you look at these three terms, they are all time dependent. Today, till that time I completed my engineering, it is time. I was able to reach certain level of expectation. If I change, I have to change. These are all time dependent because all my expectations are time dependent. If I'm going to do this, one has to be cautious. Am I raising the bar of my expectation beyond my abilities and capabilities is one, then it's all short term. Because I said it's time dependent. The moment I feel I can become general manager,
I'll strive and become general manager. How long will that particular satisfaction in life exist? Maybe a couple of years. Then I'll say, no, I want to become vice president. Then I want to become president. That means these are all time dependent. If in this time dependence, though have happiness and contentment to a particular level at one particular point, it is short lived. And beyond the time, it again changes. So it's a continuous, if you want to call it a struggle, or is a continuous expectation change, which you have to fulfill. And this is where we will not have happiness. Because I have an expectation, I'm not able to fulfill it, there's a dissent, and that's why we have problem.
So we constantly revise our expectations.
Yeah. But that has to be continuously upgraded with your abilities and capabilities.
Yeah. We raise expectation, then we raise our ability, we reach there, again we raise our expectation.
It's a continuous one. So it's not, suddenly, I get only temporary happiness. Not a long-term sustained happiness.
Yes.
At that time I had doubts. For me, if that is the case, I don't think all of us are interested in short-term happiness. We want a long-term. Of course, in spiritual parlance, you know what Swami said is that, no, you need to go for self-realization. Once you reach that stage, there's nothing beyond. So, it continues in that state of bliss. Now, but in normal working life, how do we, because that's the end of the life.
Correct.
But till we reach the end of the life, no, we have to still go through it.
Yes.
So, when I raised this issue, Swami said, this is where the concept of ceiling on desire comes. Now, we have heard ceiling of desires in so many ways and so many meanings, so many wrong interpretation being given. There Swami was explaining, even if you have got higher level of abilities and capabilities to raise your expectation level to higher, but if you constrain it down, you are always in that happiness stage.
Mm-hmm.
I improve myself, but I don't raise my bar for expectation of returns. If I constrain it, that means, look, I have a family. I need so much of money. For myself and my family, and also for the protection, for the future, stability, for the future, no, for safeguarding the future. But if you want to earn more than that, this is where the ceiling on desire really comes. I'm not talking ceiling on desire from the angle of earning, but from the way you're going to spend that particular money which you have earned. So there what happens is a very simple thing. I have my abilities and capabilities. Look at my situation and see what is the best I need. Keep that as my reference. Okay? I will earn more still, but doesn't mean that is what I am going to strive my rest of my life, keep on earning them more. Because I don't need it for much. If I keep it at a particular level, that's where I put my ceiling. That's where my happiness. Though I have got so many things still, I am in a continuous state of happiness. That means if I want to have long-term happiness, what I need to do is look at my abilities and capabilities and put a ceiling. After Swami said this, as I said, it's a little complicated. Unless you practice it out little, you'll not be able to understand. So I said, okay, this needs to be practiced before we can really enjoy. Like now, so many people describe about a particular fruit. This will be so sweet, this will be a texture. Unless we taste it once, we'll not understand it. All the explanations only to tempt you to taste it out once. So it came to a situation in Puttaparthi, as we know, in 90s, there is one level of affluence. After 90s, mid-90s, you change, there is a situation change. At the same time, did people also improve themselves in their capabilities and abilities? Most of them, if you look at, they are not. So, what they do, they try to do other means to fulfill the patron by, well, for example, I got a house, I'll give it for rent, I'll keep on increasing the rent. Not that there is any value improvement in the house which has been given. Because I want more, I'm going to charge you more. And since there's a shortage, now why not I charge? Because I want to raise my this one. It's not based on my ability at all. A situation came, you know, I normally walk from my mandir residence to college. Whereas all my other colleagues and juniors have started buying two-wheelers and four-wheelers. Not that I could not afford it. I thought there was no need for me. And in the street which we passed through, on the left side and right side, you will find half a dozen banks, commercial banks. And most of the managers knew me. Look at their job. Their job is to give advances, get fixed deposits and give advances. That's how they make money. And they want to give the advance to people who will not be defaulters, who will pay regularly so that he will not have a dick. His bosses will not come say, why are you having NPA?
Non-performing assets. Yeah.
Right? So they said, look, I have a bakra called Sudhir Bhaskar. He is very good fellow. He will not default.
and he'll be very religiously giving the installments, and they can make the profit. Very regularly, one after the other, either they'll come to college, or they used to come to my house, and sometimes on the road itself, and say, please can you come to our office, keep on bombarding me, why don't you take a loan, buy a car, all your colleagues are having cars, why don't you have? I said, right, I have money, I don't need to take a loan, without taking a loan itself, I can buy a car, but why do I need a car? I'm not saying anything against the people having cars. Look at myself, looking at the type of life I lead, if I don't have proper exercise, which is one of the things to do this type of a walking up and down, 4 times or 6 times a day, what happened to me? Now, by not doing this, I'll have to find a slot somewhere else, then I have to go to the playground and run, do jogging.
You have to find specifically time for walking.
Right? When the natural process I'm able to get, why should I? And I said that, look, it only boosts my ego, saying that, look, I also have a car. Then what happens, I'll buy a small car. Then my colleague will buy the next higher model. Then, you know, I'll have to buy the next higher model if I want to keep. It's a rat race. But at the same time, did it help me? By getting into that particular loop, I only have dissatisfaction. I have only unhappiness. I said that, look, I'm quite happy. In fact, you know, when I walk down, there are so many of my colleagues who go pass by me, they stop and give me a lift. But still, I refuse to go by the vehicle because I said that, look, where do I get my exercise? What I'm saying this is, you should be in a position to know where you would like to set your limit, strive for it. Even if you're going to be able to go beyond it, just because you're able to go beyond it does not mean that, no, you should yield for it. That is ceiling on desire. It's not ceiling on desire, no. I got 2 cars, sell over 1 car and have only 1 car. No. This I said, the 3 components, contentment, happiness and situation. If in my situation, I need to have a vehicle because the situation determines that I should have, not because I desire. There's a difference between desire and need to have. That's why Swami has never said ceiling on desire is to sacrifice on your basic needs. Yes. Swami has talked only about luxury.
Yes. The interesting thing also is when I think about it, Swami never said abolition of desires. Swami never said don't have desires. He only said have a ceiling on your desires because he knows that's not practical. I mean, you're living in this world and there are things that you have to do. There are things that are needed for you to carry on your life, carry on your family, carry on the society, everything. So, he only said have a ceiling, know where to put a full stop.
For example, suppose I were to be a managing director of a company. My situation requires that I should have a car. At that time, I can't use this logic.
Exactly.
Got the point? This is where now Swami wants to make, I'll give a classic example for management, like consumer behavior. What do they say? You're feeling hungry, you eat. You like chocolate, you take first chocolate. What you want to take one more, isn't it? You take the second one. After that, you say, one more I would like. So you'll take the third. Suppose I keep 20. How many will you eat? Fourth? Fifth possibly? And sixth one, because you may think that this is only once in a lifetime, I'm not going to get so many chocolates. So I'll take one more. Maybe one more. Tenth one? You'll feel nauseating, isn't it?
Law of diminishing marginal utility.
That's what is it. I didn't want to use jargon here.
I tried to remember what I learned.
No, what I'm saying is,
yes,
the body, the human system itself is able to tell you that.
Exactly.
Why can't you not practice it in our daily life? Because when you had the first chocolate, second chocolate, you felt very happy, isn't it? But this is temporary. Let's say you should make up your mind whether you want a long term or you want a short term happiness. And this is where it really makes a difference. And there's no formula for each one of us. I mean, for everybody to put together. Each one of us will have to determine what gives us happiness and keep that limit continuously. But at the same time, I talked about ambition. You should be ambitious. I want to become managing director. I want to become chairman of the company. I want to become chairman of a multinational company. I want to be a global company. Nothing wrong. Ambition is needed. But what comes out of the ambition, there you put your restrictions. There you put your ceilings. Got the point? So it takes a little time. I'm quite sure all the listeners will have a lot more doubts to express on this. Or they may like to contest a lot of these things, or they may like to express, I mean, through their own experience, why it is not really working. It's quite bound to happen because in our situation, each one is different. But I would like to urge everyone, think about it a little. Spend a little time about it. And still, you still have doubt or you would like to express in a different way. I think we can start a series where, no, you can have a situation where they can ask for a
question. Yes.
They can send it through the listeners.
Yeah, they can write to listener@radioside.org. And
then give the reference to me.
Yes.
And then give your address and your email ID and also your telephone number. We'll get back to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And because these are some of the things which will have an impact on life.
Help them to be happy in life. Because I think it's very difficult for everyone to draw a line between expectation and contentment. Draw a line between ambition and ceiling on your ambition. Where do you draw a line? I think these are very, very tricky issues. But one thing, what I feel, which Bhagwan once told one of the students, when Swami says that, you know, past is past, future is uncertain, live in the present. And that boy asked Swami, Swami, then how do we manage our life? If you are saying we should always live in the present, we have to think about the future. If we don't think about the future, then how can we manage to provide for our future? And then Bhagwan said that, I never told you not to plan for the future. You can always plan for the future. But what to expect from the future, that is different from planning for the future. Swami said, you can always plant a seed with the expectation that 10 years from now you want a tree there. You have made your house there and you want a garden around the house. So you can plant the seeds and in a decade that all the plants would grow. But Swami told him, but who is telling you to count the fruits in the tree now? That is expectation. But you can always plan for the future.
There's nothing wrong because as long as you link to a result, then you have a problem. In this case, no. If it's just beauty, there's no problem. But if you're expecting a return, then I know my garden should get the best price. It makes a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
The corollary to what I have just talked about in this one, happiness, contentment and situation is, do not frequently change your level of desires. Be steady on the wants, requirements and desires evaluated based on your lifestyle. You desire to lead in the long term and be totally focused on the same. Do not get tempted by looking at others, for comparison leads us to follow adharmic actions resulting in disappointments.
Exactly. Comparison is very, very dangerous.
You compare with yourself.
Yes.
For progress.
The only person you can compare with is yourself.
Not even your family members, because that is where...
Am I better than what I was yesterday?
Yeah, that's one. Second thing is, another corollary to this particular one, if we accept the fact that Swami or God gives us what is best for us.
Absolutely.
What is best for us.
Yes.
Then automatically our contentment and happiness comes.
Absolutely.
If we had start doubting that particular fact.
Yes.
Then all the problems start.
Whatever I need, He will provide me at the right
time. What is not me? What is best for me?
What is best for me? He will provide me.
He will provide.
At the right time, in the right way.
If you have that type of a faith and believe that particular fact.
Yes.
In fact, I have seen this happening many times. For example, I gave that example of the boy, you know, who wanted some money to stay back in the Kodaikanal. If he had left it to Swami, then if Swami thought that, no, best for you to stay for a week or 10 days, he would have given you money for the 10 days.
Yeah, he told, give me 500 rupees.
So, you can see direct reflection of what Swami is trying to communicate to our own personal life.
Absolutely.
And we should be grateful to Swami that He has come to teach us in the most subtle aspects in a very simple method.
Absolutely.
All that is now we have to put in effort is to grasp that problem and internalize it. So this is the one I thought now I would like to share with the audience.
Amazing. In fact, the expectation thing is something on which I have also reflected on. And just a few days back I read this quotation. Our life, which is very simple, becomes complicated only because our expectations sometimes are too high.
Beyond our abilities and capabilities,
as you mentioned. I
think very nicely put it.
If acceptance is there, then I think life is a more joyful and very contented.
We can enjoy.
Yeah, it's a very contented life when you have acceptance of whatever happens. As you mentioned, that when we accept that whatever is happening is the best that should happen to me and that is the best that is the gift that God is conferring on me, then I think life is joyous. As they say, expectation leads to tears. Acceptance leads to cheers. Amazing.
Okay, I would like to now share one thing. Before I mention this, I would like to give again another preamble. This happened almost about 25 years back.
Mm-hmm.
I took time to decide for myself whether I should share this or not. The reason is, if it is not carefully understood, there's a possibility of having the negative effect. So I would like to urge all the listeners, seekers of knowledge, and sadhakas on the path of spiritual development, take it with that particular word of caution. Just don't understand and follow what I'm saying now in terms of words. More important is the bhava and the soul of this particular episode which I'm going to indicate. Again, this happened in 1989 when we were in Kodaikanal. Actually, I was just less than a year in the university. Since having come from outside and, you know, exposed more of what you can call the corporate politics and the subtle things which you should do or should not do, how to be careful about not treading on somebody's toes, especially seniors, especially those in a position above you. The day I was coming back with some of the boys, because we had to come back to Bangalore for doing the summer project, Swami entrusted me a work. Swami called me into the room, interview room separately. And there Swami was talking to me and said, I would like you to do this particular work. Before I tell what that the thing is, all of us from centuries, if you see, in literature, other documents, and in our personal lives, we always say that, look, God is testing me. Why is He taking through these tests? Why am I going through all these hardships? Why should be me only? Why is that continuously from one hardship to another hardship I'm moving? When will there be a gap or break from all this? When will I be able to experience some little bit of peace? These things, you know, we have heard so many people.
Why me?
And we always think that, no, these are tests which we really don't deserve. Why are we subjected to all these things? And many times, no, we sometimes attribute it to karma theory, sometimes we attribute it to God and say that, no, he's heartless because he's staying somewhere else in no form, doesn't have family, he doesn't have body, so he may not be knowing what all these problems are. So we are have this tendency of, no, trying to wade or get away from this type of situation. So always, whenever people ask, no, whenever I see devotees, when few times, say, sir, I'm going through torture. So much of difficulties. Please pray to Swami. Please ask Him to tell something to me so that I can overcome all these problems. Now, how do I go and tell them that, look, He's doing the best for you. You go through the test. Very great. Swami is doing the best for you. If I tell Him, no, He'll hit me back. So, thing was, this was the situation. Then I was just wondering, what is the concept of a test? Why it is? So, the situation was that Swami entrusted me a work.
Mm-hmm.
The moment Swami told me what the work was, my heart sank.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that, look, Swami is testing me. And if I do it well, I'll be in trouble. If I don't do it, from Swami's side, I'll be in trouble. If I do it properly to satisfy Swami, I'll be in deep trouble with the rest of the people in the university.
Oh, the rest of the people in the university. Okay.
Now, the thing is, if we live with the rest of the people, isn't it, day in and day out from morning to evening,
exactly.
You know, what I said, you know, with the background and, you know, getting exposure and also just being 1 year knowing the ins and outs of certain things, I said, my God. So I was sitting at Swami's lotus feet when Swami was telling me, I held on to Swami's lotus feet and I said, Swami, please help me pass this test.
He told him that. Okay.
And I told Swami was looking at what? I'm giving work. What do you mean by test? I said, Swami, I know this is a very, very difficult task you have sent to me. You are really testing me whether I can do it properly or not. Whether I'll do it to satisfaction of everybody. That means both Swami as well as those people. And I told you it's not possible to satisfy both. Please guide me so that I'm able to fulfill to your expectation. This is a statement. Positive, this is what I said.
Following this particular statement, Swami told one of the most important things. I would like all the listeners to listen to this very carefully. You might have heard about these statements before, but actually, after you listen to my explanation also, it will make you to think differently and possibly change your attitude towards what is called as a test. Also, I personally feel it also allows us to look at a little more, get an insight into divinity's way of working. So both are possible, but let's go step by step. Swami said, I quote, "Please remember, I will never assign a task which you cannot accomplish. So be rest assured that you can definitely complete this task." Great assurance, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Great assurance. And then Swami continued. Because it has got both sides of the coin. Then Swami said, "As far as the tests are concerned, in my opinion, Nabi Prime," this is what Swami always said, "in my opinion, there is no pass or fail."
Mm-hmm.
When we in college, in a subject, we are conducted tests, and when we get marks, we know whether we are passed or failed, isn't it? Then Swami said, in his tests, there is nothing called pass or fail. So then what is left? Then Swami continued, "You go through my test, you perform, and based on your performance, the next test is decided."
Oh.
Just see how very subtly, if you can go back to your own life now, or all the situation where we are talking about people saying, "Oh, why am I being tested one after the other, one after the other?" You can make a correlation to this. Swami said, "You go through the test, you perform, and based on your performance, the next test is decided," and so on.
It's always growth, whether it is faster or quicker, that we will have to...
That's what Swami continues saying. If your performance is at a particular higher level, the number of tests will become less in life. Because the destination, the level to which you have to reach at the end, is already fixed for us.
Wow.
In life, where we want to be at the end is already fixed. So what it means from where I am today, whether my step height is bigger or smaller will determine how many steps I have to go to reach that destination. Each step, let us say, is a test. Each test I perform at higher level, the number of tests will be less. I perform lower, the next test will also come, but they'll be for lower. That means that many number of steps will be there to reach the destination.
So the greater you perform, the lesser is the number of tests
you will go through.
And reach faster.
That depends on whether between the tests, whether you want a gap or not.
Yes. Okay.
So we find that Swami was continuing. Swami said, so your performance determines the total number of tests you have to go through. Like we discussed. Is this clear?
Fantastic.
Okay. So remember to perform well. That's all. There is no question of pass.
There is no pass or fail. You try to do as best as you can.
Yeah. As well as you can.
As well as you can.
Then pray. This is most important again. Then Swami said, pray and welcome that you are tested quickly so that the height you go faster.
Faster.
Because in life I have to go through a certain quantum of height, reach, and time period is given. What happens is if I am able to do it, crunch it quicker, then rest of my life I will have peace.
Peace. Live in that state of happiness.
And this is what Swami talked about. If in the total life you are going to have, you are going to intersperse. Swami talks about pleasure is interval between two pains, isn't it? If the pleasure duration comes down and pain is more, quicker you complete it, that means that much more time is there at the end of the life to have. That's why you will find so many people, when they were young, they went through, the word which you use, they went through hell. But subsequent in their life, they have been very happy.
Very peaceful.
Very peaceful. But there are others also, we have seen that early in life they had enjoyed everything. Towards the end of their life, they went through all these difficulties and troubles and all. One great thing of this particular one is, then Swami said, you can reach the goal in quick time. These are in your hands. We always tell it's predetermined.
How you perform at every test is in your hand.
Predetermined only the height at which you have to reach the goal. But how you do it is still in your hand. That is about the freedom which is given to us. When a work is given to us, can I do very well or not? Suppose in an exam, a question is asked, how well I answer is in my hands, isn't it? Based on my preparation. I have prepared well. I have the answer, but I don't write that answer. I say, this is enough. I am the loser, isn't it? So this is where we have to be. So, a couple of things from this particular one is, you should be in a position to willingly ask Swami for tests. One, knowing fully well the test which He is going to conduct for you is within your capabilities, your abilities. You will be able to perform.
Be assured that Swami will give you a test that you can always do.
Like in exam, yes, in college, whatever has been taught only, what is part of syllabus only, He is going to ask questions, isn't it? He is not going to ask a question which is outside your syllabus.
Absolutely.
So that means you have got the means to fulfill that particular task.
You should welcome test.
The more you welcome, the quicker you complete, and the more time you have for
happiness and peace.
So these are the things, you know, which I thought now were very
so
important.
So if there is something that is happening in our life which is unpleasant, we should be actually, in one sense, be happy that, yes, now this is another test that has come to me, and I should look at it as an opportunity to perform better in this and go higher. I should not keep crying over it. I should not feel despondent that, oh my God, why this test has come. A test is supposed to be only welcomed.
The more you do it, that means you are willingly going through it, that much more joy is there for you. If you grudgingly go through it, no. What will happen?
Absolutely.
It only compounds your dissatisfaction.
Yes.
So, dear devotees and listeners, I would like to summarize this particular aspect of test. It's a great assurance given by Swami that was all the tests, that is hardships, the troubles, the difficulties which are facing are not those which we cannot surmount. Face the situation with full faith that we can overcome them. What Swami expects is willingly and cheerfully go through and do your best. Swami will be pleased with your efforts, and the next test which is round the corner also will be one which you can perform well.
Wow. So, how did you perform in the test that Swami had given you?
Yes, that's a great question. You may say that I used my knack and crack, as Swami calls it. I went and confessed with the superiors. Sir, this is a task which is assigned to me. I have nothing against any of you. I have no aspiration for any of your positions. I'm just discharging a duty which is given. Please see me only from that particular angle, and not anything else. I would like you to guide me to complete this particular task, so that you are part of it, and Swami will be happy. Let me tell you, they were so happy with me.
Mm-hmm.
Though I thought that they may be saying that, no, what is this fellow treading on our toes? This is what supposed to be, we'll be have to look after. When I able to confess to them and tell them, please, this is it. Please help me. I told them, please help me. You won't believe. The type of cooperation I got from everybody else was so much.
Mm-hmm.
So much. Others were observing, well, they don't know what's happening between these two people.
Oh.
What is it we call chemistry, which is now gelling so fine. And they're working like in a clock. All the wheels in a clock, they work so perfect precision, isn't it?
Yes.
We were doing, and then they were happy. When we went and showed the things, you know, results of the task which Swami assigned to me, Swami is extremely happy. After that, another test came to me. Not that test did not come.
Life is a succession of tests. And as Swami says, test is his taste.
And I think, you know, I'm so grateful to Bhagwan that, you know, He made me go through all this. More with awareness.
Yes, I think that is what is very important.
Then, you know, saying that, you know, why I left everything. I sacrificed my whole life somewhere. And now I'm at your lotus feet trying to do something. Why am I being tested, tortured, or whatever you can call it, for going through this, what you call red hot coal. There's a terminology which now we use. I said, I never even my dream complained to Swami that, no, look, why am I going through all this? Not that I've not gone through. You would have seen how much I've gone through in this life here. But you would have seen me, as you put it, I'm always cheerful, knowing because this is what Swami has given to me, which is best for me, and I can perform it. I can definitely succeed to His satisfaction. So this is the basic thing which is there. So I think I'd like to bring my series to a closure. And before that, no, I'd like to make a small epilogue, postscript.
Yes, sure.
To the
various things which I have talked about. What I would like to mention is, though you might have got a feeling, I'm trying to project myself as somebody little more superior than others.
Not, you're only just trying to share whatever you have learned.
That I learned more than anybody else and now trying to pass my gyan to everybody around. I'm sorry, that is never my intention. All of us are seekers of knowledge and truth, and on our path to merge in Him, we can help each other. The reason why I try to share all this is, you don't have to reinvent the wheel all over again. You can have a head start based on possibly what I have went through. So that no, you will be able to go forward with much more capabilities and with more assurance that He is there. That's one. Second one is, I talked not only about my own personal experiences and my interaction with Swami. I also talked about others. Not that I don't have many more, I have many more. The objective why I refer to others also, like the camera, the writing letters, I talked about others also is, we can from others' experience.
Yes.
Especially now, many people say that, no, you are fortunate you were there to interact with Swami, was able to clarify you. Now what about for us? Who is there to give us clarification? It's not that, no, he's not there, he's there. But what we used to see is that he's sitting in Purnachandra or Yajur Mandir or in Mandir, giving darshan time only we can see him. Apart from the so-called restricted time of access, now currently he's available to us 24/7.
Yes.
Every second he's available. Why? He's there inside us. All that I have to do is, you know, turn inwards a little and start listening to him. This happened today morning. For a couple of, almost 10 days now, some issue was bothering me very much. And also people in our department. I said, Swami, I'm not able to find a way out for this. What should we do? Whatever you're trying, you know, it's not helping. You please guide. And, you know, every morning I sit in Mandir for meditation, Dr. Puja. Then Swami told me very clearly, do this, do this, do this. Tell the others these points. And then see what happens. Immediately, I just came out of that particular one, took a piece of paper which is lying somewhere, jotted down, because no, suppose I forget, jotted down. Today morning we had a meeting. I just mentioned those points. We had 2.5 hours discussion after that. End of it, we found a solution. Wow. Which has been eluding us for the last 10 days.
Wow.
So he is not far away from us. He is only at a calling distance. And that hotline is always on. Only thing is from our side we have to activate it. From his side it is always on. So what I am saying is, based on this, we can learn a lot of things. And for those things, you know, for which we don't have the answers right now, maybe from whatever you have been listening to, or whatever literature you have been reading, or whatever experience you have been sharing with others, if you don't have an answer for that and you are looking for answers for that, just go back and ask him inside you. And he will definitely, definitely give you the answers. Even if he doesn't give instantaneously, he will create a situation like I talked about. Swami asked me, what is your salary? After a year and a half only, he told me an answer for that. Our duty is to ask questions. And he, in the right time, will give us the answer. Only thing, we have to be patient enough. And when he starts telling us, we must be alert enough to catch that answer. Here again, the assurance is, you may be having a question, but that answer may not be needed for you immediately. He will give the answer when it is needed for you. So he's not going to stop from you getting that answer, but he'll give it at the appropriate right time for you to take it. So I thought this is the things, you know, which we can have, and definitely all of us can help each other.
Absolutely.
In going forward, reaching the destination by pleasing our Lord, God, Bhagwan Sri Sat Sai Baba, the Purna Avatar of this particular age. Thank you very much. Sai Ram.
Thank you very much, sir. I think it has been a very, very enriching series, and I know there is so much more that you can share, but I think it is time we spend some time and ruminate on what you have already shared.
Like I said, it took me 25 years to share it. Exactly. There are many more he has said, but I don't know whether I can. I have not got permission to share some of them as yet.
You should share, but I think what we have got now itself is very precious, and it is for us to now make that effort to practice, to first ruminate on it and then see it in action in our daily life and benefit from it. And it is with that spirit that you have shared, and we should take that into our lives more seriously, and we pray to Bhagavan. I think prayer is a very important thing for practicing any of these things, because he can give us that strength.
I would like to retitle this series.
Yes.
With the love from Swami.
With love from Swami.
With love from Swami.
From Swami.
We always know with love to Swami we talk about. But no, because He continuously teaches us.
Absolutely.
Because He loves us, He teaches
us. He teaches us. Absolutely. With love from Swami. And the same love that we receive from Swami, it is that love that we want to share it with all. Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much.
So, like I mentioned, if they want to ask,
yes, listeners, sir is very keen to clarify any doubts or any clarification that you need. And as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org and you can refer to this conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar. This is our Learning with Love series. So please feel free to send in your emails, any feedback, anything that you would want to know, or anything that you want a clarification, or anything more that you want to know, and we will perhaps take it forward based on what you write to us. So stay tuned. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, on June the 11th, 2015, and the time in the ashram right now is precisely 57 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. You just heard the concluding part of our Learning with Love conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar of the Sai University. We hope you enjoyed it. As requested by our guest, we look forward to your feedback by email at listener@radiosai.org. As you must be aware by now, this new series, Learning with Love, is another 90th birthday offering at the Lotus Feet. It's a variant of our ever-popular Tryst with Divinity series, making it Tryst with a Twist. We hope you're enjoying it on Bhagwan's behalf, because we attempt to please our dearest beloved Sadhguru by pleasing our listeners. Dear sisters and brothers, you are so important to us at Radio Sai. So please, please do feel free to engage with us via email by sharing your comments, suggestions, feedbacks on any of our programs that we run on 6 channels 24/7. With that, it is time to bliss out with yet another 90th birthday offering, a musical piece at the Lotus Feet by Team Radio Sai. Let me find it on the file.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy, 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 be happy.
With that, I wish you Sai Ram, and I wish you a happy day ahead. May all that you do, think and speak, be inspired by our beloved Bhagwan.